Hey.
I'm gonna change it with Pikachu and Zekrom and use Brave Blade and knock him out.
Wait, what?
Because it does 30 more damage.
No, you're not gonna do that. Why would you do that? He's such a nice Pikachu and Zekrom.
Really? He would have knocked me out anyways.
What?
So. I'm Clifford Stummy, and if you're like me, you struggle with crippling FOMO. You want to try everything, but you get too bored to master anything. People like my wife April, they think we're manic. But rather than change, I institutionalize my behavior. This podcast is our excuse to investigate hobbies and lifestyles that inspire obsession. And today, we've got to catch them all because we're asking, why are people obsessed with the Pokemon trading card game?
In my collection, in my Pokemon hunting, the PSA 10 Charizard is the last thing that I'm looking for. So at this very moment in time, right now, I am prepared to give you $150,000 cash for just one of your seven PSA 10 first edition Charizards.
In October 2020, YouTuber Logan Paul bought a mint first edition holographic Charizard for $150,000. What followed was chaos. Middle-aged millennials dashed to their closets and pulled out their childhood Pokemon collections. They priced them and sold them and bought them and collected them again. Then their kids got in on the action. It was 2001 all over again. And because of that boom in interest, Pokemon cards couldn't stay on the shelves. They literally still can't. Of course, maybe you're not familiar with Pokemon, in which case it's a franchise about cute but fierce creatures that players collect and capture to battle each other with. The Pokemon themselves, like Pikachu, a kind of tall mouse with electricity powers, Jigglypuff, a sleepy, fluffy, circular creature, or Squirtle, a very happy-looking blue turtle, battle each other until one is knocked out and the person with the last standing Pokemon wins. That simple equation is what the TV show, the video game, and the trading card game are all based on. And the collectible Pokemon trading card game launched in 1996, 6 months after the first Pokemon video game came out, but today it is the most iconic trading card game of all time. Not only do people collect the cards and pay obscene amounts of money for the really rare ones, but there are still huge tournaments around the world with thousands of dollars in cash prizes on the line. And you know what? This Pokemon craze fascinates me. I played some Pokemon Go in 2016 like everybody else, but I really don't know anything about Pokemon other than that. However, I do know that I love a good obsession, and people are clearly obsessed with this game, so I think it's time we investigate. We're going to find out why people are obsessed with Pokemon cards, and we're going to try it out together. But to do all of that, we need to talk to some Pokemon card experts. Thankfully, I know just two such experts, Danny, age 6, and his big brother Gabe, age 9. Welcome, guys. So Danny, you got some Pokemon cards?
Yeah.
Excellent. Hey, that's quite a few. I know Danny and Gabe from church, and I invited them and their dad Andy to teach me how to play Pokemon. They came over with a bunch of cards and settled into my living room, spread out in chairs around the coffee table, where they placed all their cards out in front of us. Danny, the 6-year-old, wandered a bit and offered advice every once in a while. Andy, the dad, sat up on the couch to watch and help. And Gabe, the 9-year-old, took the lead.
So the deck goes here and the discard pile is here.
Okay.
And this is your active Pokemon, the Pokemon you're going to be attacking with. And
Gabe was really good at explaining the rules, and before long, I didn't have any questions. Basically, you and your opponent have a deck of 60 Pokemon cards that include actual Pokemon, energy cards, and supporter cards. On your turns, you play Pokemon on the field, you add energy to them so they can do attacks, and you use supporters to speed up the process and do fancy stuff like draw more cards. You keep doing attacks until you knock out your opponent's Pokemon. Pokemon are worth 1, 2, or 3 prize cards, depending on how powerful they are, but once you've earned 6 prize cards, you win. That's the basic idea. The game is fairly simple and the rules are easy, but I was about to learn that winning is less than easy. But before that painful lesson, little Danny wanted to show me some of his cards.
These are some of my favorite
Pokemon. Oh, this is a really cute pupper. Oh, and does he evolve into the Lycanroc?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nice. Why do you like this one? These ones so much?
Well, it was in the first deck he got ever.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I got for him for his birthday.
Danny doesn't say much, but it's clear he loves the cards by his wide eyes and the way his little hands grip them. And of course, Gabe's breathless mile-a-minute explanations show he's a big fan too. But it's also clear that the dad, Andy, loves the game just as much as them.
This is what they got me for my birthday.
Uh-huh. Nice, okay. That's a good present.
Yeah.
But these two boys and their dad were about to teach me a tough lesson. Gabe had built a leaf deck for me with extra cards in his collection, and I used that to go against his metal deck. You may think that leaves could never beat metal, but I lasted for a while, i.e., it was a slow, excruciating death.
And so I get to search for two basic Pokemon, and one of them is going to be Zacian V, and the other one is going to be
bad for you.
Galarian Meow.
The way you said that was very scary, Dan.
You're
making me nervous.
Gabe started building up his energies and powering up his best Pokemon right away, and I was doing my best with what looked like a really big dragonfly called Yanma. I kept poking at Gabe, but I think Danny sensed I was struggling, so he came over to look at my hand and give me advice.
You can attach an energy to him. Now, I don't think you should evolve him, because then he's cute. Whoa!
I was a little slow on the uptake sometimes, so he would just grab the best card to play and put it down for me. I was, of course, grateful for the help, because we even knocked out a Pokemon and got in the lead for, like, just a minute.
But I am winning now.
Well, yes, okay. Prize card-wise, but
and deck size-wise,
yes,
I can win.
But then, I know, but, like, I've been packing up all my bench and then, like, bam, bam.
I know, I'm really scared.
Sensing my ultimate patheticness, even Gabe started giving me advice.
So I'll have to add another energy onto him.
No, but you could just use Beak Blast and you knock him out. Or not Beak Blast.
Oh, you're right.
The next turn, it would do 120 damage.
Oh, okay. I feel like you're kind of helping me a little bit here. I worry that,
I know, but, like, it's because you're new that, like, need some advice, you know, knowing how to
do it.
That
makes sense. That makes sense.
But it didn't last for long.
And then I'll also use a Leon. And you know how much damage that does?
No.
280.
280?
Yeah, because it does 20 more and then plus 30 more.
So you basically just did an ultimate slam down on my poor little Bisharp. And you win.
Good game. All right.
Gabe destroyed me. This 9-year-old had been biding his time and waiting for the perfect chance to swoop in and sweep the floor. And at the end of the day, I had proved one thing. I knew nothing about Pokemon. And that wasn't going to do if I was going to get to the bottom of this obsession, so I proposed a plan to Gabe.
So here's what I want to propose to you, and this only works if you're okay with it too. Mm-hmm. I, for the podcast, am going to go and collect some Pokemon cards, and I'm going to talk to a Pokemon expert, and I'm going to build a deck, and then I want to do a rematch with you when I have my deck ready.
Ooh. Ooh.
Would you be up for that?
Yeah. And some Pokemon are coming in the mail.
So you're going to get ready too.
Uh-huh.
We're both going to go train, and we're going to have a rematch a couple of weeks from now, and we'll see if I learned how to play better.
Yeah. Also something...
I had 3 weeks to train and prepare and collect Pokemon, and then Gabe and I would have a rematch. And we'd see if I'd learned anything about Pokemon and why it causes obsession. First thing I needed to do to get ready to defeat Gabe was find some Pokemon cards of my own and build a deck. And that meant going to the store. So I went to Barnes & Noble, and they were out. So I went to GameStop, and they were out. So I went to Target, and they were out. So I went to Walmart, and they also were out. I spent 3 hours searching for Pokemon all over town and found next to nothing. I was complaining about it to a professor buddy of mine, and he said that the only place in town that reliably had Pokemon cards for sale was Target, but only on Friday mornings. Apparently, that's when the shipment comes in, but they all get purchased right away, so you have to get there really early. Target opens up at 8 on Fridays, so I showed up at 7:30. But by the time I was there, there were already 20 people in line.
So, go ahead and give me your name.
I'm Sean Barker.
And what are you doing here today?
I'm here to take a look at some Pokemon cards.
And why Pokemon cards?
I grew up with them. For me, it's a lot of nostalgia. Especially, I had my first son. I was born 10 months ago. And I'm excited to kind of make a collection and pass on to him.
Okay.
I lost my childhood collection, so rebuilding it's been fun.
Yeah, that'll be a fun thing for you guys to do together.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty cool. So you're here like 30 minutes before Target even opens.
I am, yeah.
Why not come here, you know, like later this evening after work?
Nothing will be here.
Yeah?
Yeah. I first came to buy things at Target, and I was like looking, and I didn't see anything. So I asked a worker, and they're like, oh, we only sell them Friday morning at 8 a.m. So I'm like, okay, so that's my only option. Got it.
I had a suspicion that Sean was maybe greasing the wheels of his collection a little too, but not everyone was there claiming to want Pokemon cards for the sake of their kids.
So, sounds good, sounds good. So, what's your name? Just first name's fine.
Brandon.
Brandon, what are you doing this morning?
This morning I'm trying to get some Pokemon cards.
You are here. How early did you get here?
I got here at, I think 7:20, but I've been here as early as like 5:45.
Why are you here? Wait, 5:45? That's like
5:45 in the morning. Yeah,
two hours 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Why is this worth it? Like, why do you do this?
I'm half collector, half scalper.
Okay.
So, half the time I'll keep about half the stock and you know, just enjoy it for myself, and the other half of it will probably go for about twice of its retail value online. So you can flip a profit pretty well. I break it down to about each booster pack will probably cost you about $5 a booster pack. Just yesterday, I sold, it's the Hidden Fates line, but I sold 30 booster packs for $350 on eBay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a great return on investment.
Okay, that's nice. So you saving up for anything big in particular?
Nope, not in particular, just supplements, small income.
Why'd you get into Pokemon in the first place?
I've always liked Pokemon since I first came out in 1997-ish. And,
yeah?
Yeah, just kind of grew up with it and stopped for a while because I didn't have any money to buy anything. And now I have a job and now I can buy things.
Right before 8 a.m., a Target employee came out and told us that corporate policy had changed. And now, we each could buy only one item of their entire collection of Pokemon cards. Apparently, Twitter videos of sweaty dads in socks and sandals raking cards into their carts and pushing each other over had made the Target execs a little nervous. Thankfully, our crew was pretty peaceful. We filed in line to customer service where the cards were kept. I got a small booster pack set, and I headed out. But you know, this wasn't what I was looking for. Sure, 20 people at Target before work on a Friday morning was weird, but I'd been expecting a line of hundreds, or a little bit of shoving, or some angry shouting when the last Pokemon was purchased. I mean, this was a little obsessive, but what made this happen all over the country and the world? Why was this happening everywhere, not just in my town? It felt like the tip of the iceberg, and I realized that if I was going to understand this obsession completely, I needed to dive deeper. Remember at the beginning when I said YouTuber Logan Paul helped spark this whole Pokemon card craze when he bought a first edition Charizard for $150,000? The guy he bought it from is Gary Hayes, and Gary is a Pokemon legend. That's because he jump-started the current Pokemon craze with Logan Paul, and technically, he started the first one in the late 90s, and the second one around 2004, and the third one in 2017. Yeah, anytime Pokemon goes big in the US, Gary's at the center of it. Not only is he known as King Pokemon, but he's the owner of a $10 million collection that includes cards worth more than $200,000 apiece. Apparently, if I wanted to get to the heart of Pokemon obsession, I needed to talk to Gary. So I flew out to Vegas to meet him. okay, I didn't fly out to Vegas just for this interview. I was already there on other business, but it sounds way cooler if I say I did. I sound like some super swanky, rich, high-budget podcast, so let's just pretend. I met Gary at a therapy center in Vegas, where he takes his daughter Okara, who has autism. You'll hear her saying hi every once in a while and playing in the background. Gary is 67. He's clean-shaven with gray hair, he's got big clear eyes, and he's incredibly friendly for being worth over $10 million in Pokemon cards.
My name is Gary Hayes, known as King Pokemon, and on Instagram, Real King Pokemon, YouTube, King Pokemon. I just started the YouTube thing recently because I'm not very tech-savvy, and so I don't know... I still don't know how to like do a thumbnail or or how to edit anything. So like on, it's funny on YouTube, they call me One Take Gary because I don't know how to do any different. Right.
I asked Gary how he got into Pokemon.
I don't come from a family of collectors. My dad never collected anything. My mom never did. In fact, they were the opposite of hoarders. You know, anything gets thrown out, you know, any old stuff gets thrown out. My brother, no collectors at all. But for me, from the very beginning, I was interested in collecting. I remember as a 5 or 6 year old in the late 50s, going to gas stations and pulling bottle caps out of. It used to be you'd get a Coke, then you know you'd knock off the top would go down into a cup in the Coke machine. Anyway, I would tie a magnet to a stick and run it down there to get those bottle caps up, because inside on the bottom side of the bottle caps were football players' faces, and you could collect those football players' faces. And that's when I was 5 or 6 years old.
His family basically ignored his love of collecting, so he committed at the tender age of 10 to always be excited about what his kids loved.
And I remember how much fun that would have been if I had had, you know, some family, you know, support and that, you know, which I didn't have. And so, yeah, I did tell myself then, you know, I said that if I ever have kids, that inevitably happened. If I ever have kids, I'm going to be a part of no matter what they're doing. If it's going to be baseball, I'm going to be there. I'm going to take them. I'm going to be on the sidelines. If it's collecting, I'm going to be sitting at that table, you know, doing it with them and showing them, you know, teaching them about condition and stuff like that. So, yeah, very true. Today, it's a whole different story because now those kids have grown up. They were Pokemon enthusiasts. Now their kids are coming up and they love Pokemon. And now they're participating together and actually enjoying it together.
Gary's Pokemon legacy lives on in his grandkids, but he also made a big difference for Pokemon before it was even released in the U.S. He actually was one of the first people negotiating sales and having the cards brought over from Japan. So he helped get things started. Then, when the game came over, went big, and declined a little after the initial excitement, he negotiated with the authentication and grading service, PSA, to review Pokemon cards. So Pokemon had a renaissance around 2005 and got popular again among collectors selling them to each other on eBay.
You know, during the down times, I was very involved in the business side because I didn't want to see the, like 2003, 2004, 2005, I didn't want to see the hobby die. So I was I would strategize a lot with other, you know, with other of the original, you know, people, and we would, you know, come up with ways to help keep the hobby alive. A big thing was card grading, PSA.
We chose
PSA over the other grading companies and worked with them. And at that time you could type in on eBay PSA Pokemon and you would see maybe 20 items, and 20 of those were me and my friend Eddie. You know, they were ours. There was no PSA Pokemon. If you type it in today, there's a million. So, you know, that gives you an idea.
Then, in 2016, Pokemon Go was released. And in 2017, Gary got invited to be on Pawn Stars.
Hold on one second here.
Yes.
Chum.
Yeah?
This guy's got Pokemon cards.
Rick, it's not Pokemon. It's Pokemon.
I was never going to sell. I just did it for the game publicity.
After Americans and the rest of the world watched the episode, they ran into their basements to reopen their collections, and the prices of Pokemon cards exploded. And Gary's shrewd business move not only increased the value of his collection, but of the game as a whole. But that leads us to 2020. With everyone locked inside due to the pandemic, apparently a lot of people went rooting around and found their old collection again. And one of those people was 23 million subscriber YouTuber Logan Paul. He started really getting into Pokemon in 2020, and he wanted a first edition Charizard to round out his collection. So in a video with now over 10 million views, he went to Gary's house and offered him $150,000.
You know, the first thing you handed me was 7, 8 PSA 10 Charizards. I don't know if you're willing to sell those, but I am prepared to give you an offer that you can't refuse.
Gary said yes, and again, Pokemon obsession went insane. Logan Paul's audience and everyone else started buying tons of cards and reselling them and collecting them and playing them.
Yes, a lot of people were surprised that I would sell him a card in that, except I sat down with him and I looked him right in the eye, and he absolutely loves Pokemon. I mean, it's a major thing. He's also a very smart businessman, has great people around him in that, so he seems to make all the right moves. And yeah, that's microphone, right?
Microphone. Microphone.
And so with Logan, he still texts me almost every day about one thing or another, just fun stuff.
Talking with Gary confirmed that I'd found the reason why the stores in my town on the other side of the country couldn't keep Pokemon in stock, and part of why Pokemon was such a huge obsession. I want to take a quick break to say thanks so far for listening to this story of Pokemon obsession. And I want to let you know that if you want the full interview with Gary or another special guest coming up, you can sign up for this show's Patreon. If you love this show, it's the second best thing you can do to help make it happen. The first best way is to tell someone else about it so they can listen too. I'm grateful every time someone signs up to support the show or tells someone else, and it all goes to making this show better episode by episode. So I hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. The Patreon is in the show notes, and your friends, if you have any, are out there in the world somewhere. So just like I'm doing with these Pokemon, go and catch them and make them listen to this podcast. So I'd understood Pokemon obsession a little better. There's a bit of that collecting mania and the desire to catch them all, but often that starts with something else. And for Gary, it was the desire to support his sons and by extension to support kids all over the world. This was fascinating to me, but I had to get back to business and to finish building my deck. Remember, the key mission here was to win a game against Gabe, and I still had a long way to go. Gary may not have made Pokemon cards any cheaper, but thanks to the scalpers, a local card shop, and some used cards, and advice from Andy, I was able to pull together a deck. I bought deck basics locally, and then used TCGplayer.com to get the high-powered special Pokemon for my deck. I had done a ton of research on what the best decks were, and pulled from some expert sources. And by the end of it, I had spent $100 on Pokemon cards. It was nowhere near what Gary and others were dealing in, but maybe we all agreed just not to tell my wife April at this time. Anyway, having a deck isn't enough. You have to be able to play it. And I really didn't know what to do with this deck I'd built, so I decided to ask for help. Andy had told me that a Pokemon champion actually lives in my town. Among other championships, 17-year-old Isaiah Bradner is the 2019 North American Seniors Champion, which means he was the best 12 to 15-year-old in all of North America in 2019. Turns out he's a really nice guy, and he said he'd be happy to meet up. So we set a time at Panera on a Monday evening. I grabbed my tiny pile of Pokemon cards and my mic, and I went to meet him.
So yeah, I brought two different types of decks. I brought two theme decks, and then I also brought two of the World Championship decks, which are like the kind of the two ends of the spectrum, so I didn't know which one you would want me to play with. And then I also brought, probably should have brought a second one, but we play on mats in tournaments, so I just grabbed a random mat from my room so I could roll that out and then show you how that is. It's not a necessity, obviously, but at tournaments, usually you play with a mat because the tables there are usually pretty dirty. Obviously, there's a bunch of germs, so if you have your mat, that can help
bring
your
own mat.
Yeah, it keeps your...
Isaiah is mid-height and thin. He looks a little younger than his age, and he's intense and direct and speaks quickly. Most notably, he is very excited about Pokemon.
How'd you get into it, then?
So, my mom actually runs a consignment sale around here. It's called Kids Craze, that they resell items at a reduced price. It happens, they have a big sale twice a year. So, at one of those sales, I saw the cards, and my friends had told me about the game, and so I asked my parents, it's like, hey, can I get these cards? And at first they were like, no, they'll just end up everywhere, you won't actually use them. But then when I explained...
What a hilarious thing for them to say, like, looking back.
Yes, it's great. My mom and dad joke about it all the time because, I mean, that was their first response. And then I was like, no, they're actually, you know, it's a game. You can do it. It's got math. It's got strategy. I think I'd really like to play it. So they let me get the cards. And then from there, I got a ton more cards. I kind of just bought cards whenever I could because I liked the game. I didn't even know it was a competitive game at that point. Mm-hmm. I just loved playing it and playing with my friends. And then at one point, some of my friends said, hey, you know, there's a competitive scene. So we drove about an hour to a local tournament in Fincastle. I played in that. And then about a month later, we went to Philadelphia for my first big tournament. I finished well in that one. And from there, we just kept going to more tournaments. And that's kind of how it went.
Wow.
Since then, Isaiah has spent about $3,000 on Pokemon cards, but won well over $30,000 from tournaments. Plus, many of the events offer stipends for top-ranked players, so Isaiah has been flown internationally to Australia, Europe, and South America for different tournaments.
What do your parents think of you playing Pokemon?
My parents love it. They're very supportive. That's one thing that they've always been supportive of us following our dreams and doing what we love to do. And so whenever they heard that I wanted to play Pokemon, and they wanted to find a way to make it happen. So my dad travels with me. He traveled with me to basically every event until last year when I could fly by myself, and now he travels whenever he can. So he's been to all the foreign countries with me except for one time.
Man, if I was him, I'd be like, yeah, go to more countries. Let's do more stuff.
Keep playing Pokemon. Let's go. Yeah, they're very supportive. I could not do it without them, so definitely very lucky.
I think I saw in one interview while I was doing my research on you that, like, you learned a lot about it by playing with your dad?
Yes, me and my dad was the first person that I played with. Whenever I first got in the game, he learned how to play so we could play against me, and that's how he started.
Okay, so you got him into Pokemon.
Yes.
It wasn't like he had to collect, he knew how to play and he showed you.
Nope. Once I learned how to play and started going to tournaments, my mom was like, hey, you're going to need to learn how to play so you can play with Isaiah, so...
Soon, it was time for pleasantries to end and time to get down to serious training. Isaiah pulled out one of his decks, and I pulled out mine.
So generally in a tournament, what you do is after your opponent shuffles, you can cut their deck. So if you want, you can cut my deck.
All right. I would love to do that.
And then, yeah, I see you have some dice there.
You had to talk me through the rules a little bit, but we got a rhythm going, and the game was on.
And then I will play a switch, which switches.
No.
And then I will use Steaming Stomp on Heatran, which does 130 damage, and knock out the poor Eevee.
Oh my gosh. In your first turn, you have a fully powered up, super fancy GX Pokemon.
I was amazed by the differences between our turns. I would play one or two cards and then not have any more in my hand I could play. But Isaiah was constantly playing cards that searched through his deck for a card or upgraded something early or found more energy. He was having to reshuffle his deck like 3 times per turn, and he was fielding really good cards really quickly. Meanwhile, my bench of Pokemon looked like the cast of The Breakfast Club, a bunch of ragtag weird misfits. Soon, Isaiah was doing incredible damage, and I was just barely hanging on. And then... just 4 turns into the game, it was over.
I'll play this supporter card again, attack to energy here, and then I will just retreat this bikini and use Flare Strike for 230 damage to knock out the Ampharos.
Oh my gosh. I was like, I'm going to get Victini. Like, I'm going to have revenge on him. I'll build up and then I'll get him. And no, he's just gone. Oh man.
They say you learn more from failing than succeeding. If that was true, I was going to be a genius. To help with that genius building process, Isaiah gave me some much needed tips on how to improve my deck.
what do I need? Like, what should I be thinking? Should I get rid of some of these cards? Like,
yeah.
Teach me.
Okay, so the biggest thing in the game nowadays is that big basics are going to be so much more powerful than everything else. Like, okay. I mean, you have a lot of really powerful. Yeah, research is actually probably the best draw supporter that's ever been printed. Just discarding your hand, draw 7. It doesn't seem like it's very good. You lose your hand, but you play down most of your cards. I'd also probably play more ball search cards, whatever ball search cards you have. In general, ball search is just one of the best things in the
Isaiah's
game.
Isaiah's advice was awesome. He changed the way I saw the game and how I understood the pacing, the charging up, everything. To be fair, the way he beat me so quickly had also woken to me some awesome possibilities. But it was getting dark, and Isaiah's dad came to pick him up, and we said farewell. I may have lost again, but I had gained a ton of knowledge, and after some processing and some planning later that night, I knew what needed to happen if I was going to beat Gabe. The big day finally came. I had bought a few more cards, tweaked my deck a bunch, and practiced with the online version of the game. And now today, we were going to see if I'd learned anything about Pokemon, and if I had what it took to take down my original teacher. Gabe, Dad, Andy, and little brother Danny came over ready to play. They were excited, but maybe most of all just to see what cards I'd bought. If Pokemon cards could feel, mine would have felt like celebrities, being fawned over by adoring fans who had never seen some of these cards before.
Oh, I've seen a Pokemon. That's really smart. I've seen a Pokemon like this with the like the same GX move, except you only need one rock energy.
Ooh, okay.
But before Gabe and I played, Danny and I played a warm-up game with my secondary deck. And Danny won decisively.
Pokemon catcher.
Heads.
What?
Ash heads.
What do I...
And Ash what's it with him.
What? No! Oh my gosh! Yeah. Oh my gosh!
And I bet I will attack.
That was so mean.
Why?
How does it feel to win the game?
Kinda nice.
What kind of exercise did you do to get ready for this championship?
What do you mean exercise?
Did you do jumping jacks or push-ups or like brain exercise?
No.
You just came in, you were a natural?
Kind of.
That's pretty amazing. This was not a good omen for my game with Gabe, even if I was totally going to win. But I think it's good to learn about your opponent, so I wanted to ask Gabe a few questions.
Do you like Pokemon?
Yes.
Do you like it a lot?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you like Pokemon?
Maybe 8 or 9.
Okay, but why so much?
I mean, like... For one, Pokemon is everywhere. So for you can let so like there are Pokemon shows. You know there are rubber Pokemon that Danny has like a set. You know, there's Pokemon cards. There's lots of different ways to play Pokemon cards. We even play Pokemon where like where the Pokemon kind of based off of the shows on the on our trampoline.
Nice.
Not our trampoline. Well, our neighbor's trampoline. Yeah.
A lot of people had loved playing Pokemon with their kids. So I tried to ask about this from the kid's perspective, and I don't think Gabe got exactly what I was going for.
Do you like playing with your dad?
Yeah.
Why do you like playing with him?
Well, he's more of a challenge. Like, you never know who's going to win.
But he's the one who taught you how to play Pokemon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you just like having fun hanging out with him? Playing the game? Like,
yeah.
I mean, what would you guys be doing together if you weren't playing Pokemon?
Watching Pokemon.
Good answer.
I wrapped up our interview by asking how much time he spent playing.
How many games of Pokemon do you play a week, do you think? Or how many games do you play in a day?
I mean...
As many as you can sometimes.
Like, sometimes I don't because, like, you know, we watch Pokemon. And then, like, I won't play outside. And, you know, I also like Legos with, you know, Danny and the neighbor kids come over. I mean, like, sometimes I play 2 games a day. Like, I don't play...
Played 3.
Yeah, like, sometimes I play some games with Danny. And sometimes, you know, Oz and Rai come over and we battle them. And then, like, sometimes I battle Daddy and then we play online or something.
That's, like, 10 games.
I was like a lamb going to slaughter. This kid ate, slept, and breathed Pokemon. Who was I to think that I could win? But David had to fight his Goliath, and now it was my turn. All this research, this entire episode, all that money, all that time, all those cards, it was time to put it all to the test.
All right, one, two.
Get ready to lose. Okay, that's not very encouraging, but...
The game was quick. We both loaded our benches pretty quickly. We were able to find our best Pokemon. Gabe got the early lead by knocking out one of mine, but then I knocked out one of his really big ones, and I was in the lead. In fact, on my next two turns, I had just the right cards to win. I was going to knock out one more of his big guys and take it home. I was two turns away. But the thought was short-lived. Gabe had to flip a coin to see if one of his actions worked.
Now, let's just hope this works.
Okay.
Let's hope it does.
Hey.
I'm gonna switch it with Pikachu and Zekrom and use Brave Blade and knock him out.
Wait, what?
Because it does 30 more damage.
No, you're not gonna do that. Why would you do that? He's such a nice Pikachu and Zekrom.
Really? He would have knocked me out anyways.
What?
So.
Yep. Gabe beat me again. It was humbling and it was crazy. We had actually made a rule in our first game together that whoever won got to throw a stuffed Pokeball at the other. So I got the Pokeball thrown at me while Andy and Danny cheered, and it was official. Gabe was still the champion. But you know what? It wasn't ever really about winning. I mean, maybe I got caught up in the competition a little, but for the most part, we both just had a lot of fun. And that's because the Pokemon trading card game is a lot of fun. Besides, I beat Andy in a game right afterwards, so if you beat the dad who wins against the sons who beat you, who's the real champion? You know, I'm actually not sure, but probably me. Folks, the Pokemon trading card game is awesome. At the time of the posting of this podcast, I'm still playing a bunch online and playing every other week with Danny, Gabe, and Andy. I'm even looking into tournaments once COVID is over. I've definitely gotten a little obsessed. It's just such an awesome mix of creativity, competition, and cute animals. And yeah, those are important facets of the game, but I think what really drives international Pokemon obsession is the intergenerational appeal, particularly between kids and parents. Whether I talked to Andy, Gabe, and Danny, interviewed folks at Target, played against the North American champion, or hunted down King Pokemon in Vegas, something that came up literally every single place was the power of Pokemon to connect parents and kids. As a soon-to-be dad, I think this is super cool, because I would covet the opportunity to be equally excited about something with my kids, and to just nerd out about it together. Gary Hayes says it best.
You know, it's always good to participate in your children's lives and that, but it's even better when you enjoy participating in your children's lives. And if you love Pokemon and you always did as a kid, and now your kids love Pokemon, that's a common bond.
And to be able to build memories, whether it's with kids or parents or friends or at tournaments or collecting or driving all over town to find a single pack of cards, it's a really important thing. And one day, those memories become nostalgia like they did for Andy.
When I was a kid, I had the Game Boy Color Pokemon Red, kind of the original Pokemon video game, and I just totally got into that. I was obsessed with that as a kid. And I got a little bit into Pokemon cards, mainly collected, didn't really play much. And so kind of didn't touch it much till, you know, after college or something. I just found this online thing and I was like, oh, this is fun to do every now and then. But I really picked it up again when these boys started last year at their birthday. So it's been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Learning again with them, playing with them, having fun with them. And for me, there's just a whole lot of nostalgia with it.
And then your kids get into it, the nostalgia awakens, and the cycle continues. And Pokemon continues to be a force for good and an awesome obsession. Thank you for listening to this episode of Obsessed. I'm your host, Clifford Stummy. Thank you so much to Andy, Gabe, Danny, Isaiah, everyone at Target, and Gary Hayes I'm linking to Isaiah's Twitch channel and podcast, all about Pokemon cards, in the show notes, as well as to King Pokemon's Instagram and YouTube, and his work with the Aoki Foundation. If there's anything Gary is more passionate about than Pokemon, it's helping kids with autism to find the support and help they need to be amazing. After all, Satoshi Tajiri, the creator of Pokemon, is on the autism spectrum, and it's sad to think that kids out there won't live the life they could if they don't get the therapy and support and knowledge they need. Please consider supporting those kids through Gary's page on the Aoki Foundation website. And folks, that brings us to the end of Season 1 of Obsessed. We'll be back in a few months with another season, but in the meantime, make this show happen on our Patreon and get access to tons of amazing full-length Shadow episode interviews with the Obsessed people we've been talking to all season. It'll help pass the time while you're waiting for Season 2, and these folks are so passionate and so awesome. It's just really great to hear about why they love Pokemon, Taylor Swift, or the royal family, or anything, like why these things are making a difference in their lives and make them genuinely happy. It's truly an honor for me to get to talk to them and then to share all of this with you. But I need your help too. While I'm away working on Season 2, please email me ideas for obsessions I should investigate. I only know of the kinds of things that I'm normally exposed to, but there are crazy, cool things out there that I don't even have a clue about that would be awesome to investigate and to get to learn about more. Thank you as always for telling your friends. It's been amazing to see how many of you have shared, supported, reviewed, and most importantly, listened this season. And I promise to bring you even better stories next season. Thank you, and I'll talk to you later.
I can't believe you bought $125 worth of Pokemon cards and you still lost to two children.